Good evening, welcome to the regular meeting of the San Bruno City Planning Commission. Call to order, please disable your cell phones or take the radios off. I appreciate it. Commissioner Nair, would you lead us in a black song, please?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Dirk.
Here.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Barnhart.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton.
Here.
Commissioner Daly.
Here.
Commissioner Thomas.
Here.
And Commissioner Wyatt.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. On our public hearing night, the planning commission will first hear a report from staff and the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. Forms are located on the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward and speak into the microphone. Say and spell your name and give your address for the tape record. After all spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. Public hearing will then be closed. The planning commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the municipal development code are final action unless a deal is filed and fee paid within 15 days to the community development department. If you challenge the result in action of the planning commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda are in written correspondence delivered to the community development department at or prior to the public hearing. Ms. Leanne, would you administer the oath, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, Commissioners. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next is our consent agenda. Consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon request of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. The staff recommend for the consent agenda.
Yes. Staff recommends that minutes of December 17th, 2014. Staff recommends approval of these minutes. Item number two is conditional use permit 1416. A request to modify an existing 75-foot long-pine wireless telecommunications facility by installing additional antennas and equipment. The address is at 2939 North G Street. The zone is residential suburban RS. It is exempt from CEQA under section 15301 existing facility. Recommended motion is staff recommends the planning commission approve conditional use permit 1416 place on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to conditions of approval. Item three, conditional use permit 1422, the request to convert three temporary modular buildings on an existing church property to permanent structures for use as Sunday school classrooms. The address is located at 4747 North State Street. It's in the residential suburban RS zone. It's exempt from CEQA under section 15301, existing facility. Staff recommends Planning Commission approve conditional use permit 1422 based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval. That concludes the consent agenda.
Thank you. Any commissioners wish to pull or discuss any of those items? Any member of the public wish to pull or discuss any of those items? Any none, I'll entertain a motion.
Approve consent.
Second.
A motion and a second. Approve consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously.
Moving on. Okay, item number four. I see that your attention here on the slideshow a little bit here. Got a short presentation for you. It's general plan amendment 1408, zoning map amendment 1416, extended parcel map 19573, and development permit D 145.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, Aaron. Can we get these?
Oh, I'm so sorry. It should just be that's what I flipped it.
How much of that number? It was on the internet.
It was on?
Yeah.
Just got to flip the power strip the other way.
I thought I did. Okay. All right, let's see.
The elevation one.
Oh, there it is. This one. How about that?
What was safe or old next on the image?
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we have four major applications before you this evening. Then the general plan land use map for approximately 19.65 acre project site from industrial and residential to industrial. Then the site's zoning from office industrial park, OIP and residential medium RFH to industrial light IL. Merge nine parcels into one large parcel to propose to accommodate the proposed construction here at 427,000 square foot warehouse building. And the site is located on the east side of Waterman Avenue, approximately 1,000 feet north of Mill Street. It's the location, the zoning map. So we would assemble these nine parcels to be one large parcel. And there's an aerial photo view of the project site. It's basically in the general plan, it's in the industrial zone. With a combination of a residential RMH, just located to it at the northeast corner portion, that would be essentially rezoned and combined under one IL. It's a site plan, basically with your warehouse filling planted in the center of the project site, close to main entrances, circular throughout the building, in the back coming out with an orderly driveway. It's a spec building. I believe the applicant can discuss that with you. So the floor plan is just one giant warehouse facility. Elevations, staff review this in accordance with our development code. It's been particularly the elevations fronting Waterman Avenue would achieve high level design for our policy. Includes articulation elements such as vertical here in the corner with office locations to corner, and as well as the middle piece articulation here to kind of break up the mass and the plane of the wall with various columns and reveals. And it's carried throughout all the 360 of the elevations on here, and it's broken up. Here on the side elevation and across the board here. So here's the site. Staff attempted to give you a panoramic view of the project site. It's basically consists of, again, nine parcels with five structures there currently. You've got miscellaneous vacant lots that front Waterman Avenue, as well as an auto repair and truck repair facility, so a symbol of use that's already on site. Then you've got two Belmont, an industrial building fronting Waterman Avenue. These would be demolished, removed to accommodate the proposed project here. The mitigation, proposed mitigating negative declaration circulated for 30 days. We've received three comments from the public agencies: air quality, vision gain, and public works from the county and flood control. And the comments based on the letters that we received would not change the substantive that would require the mitigating negative declaration to be circulated. Staff concurs with the proposed project, and the recommendation is because of the general plan amendment and the zoning map amendment that this would require the mayor and common council approval. And that we recommend, the planning commission recommend that the mayor and common council, one, approve the mitigated negative declaration and mitigation reporting program prepared for the project, and to approve general plan amendment 14-08, zoning amendment 14-16, tenancy parcel map 15-19573, subdivision 14-11, and development permit P-14-5. Based upon findings of facts contained in the staff report and subject to the conditions of approval. And that concludes staff presentation. I believe we have two speaker slips from the applicant here tonight. He's anxious to share some of the success stories, some of the locations that they've built. These are familiar faces. I believe you recognize Mr. Ted Sorrentino, and he is the lead applicant, as well as Michael Morris. And so, and they also have their representative consultants and on environmental issues if you should have questions on this particular project. Thank you.
Thank you. The applicant wish to make any kind of presentation at this time? Please state your name and address for the paper.
My name is Michael Morris, Red Rock Development. My address is 4340 Mount Carmel Avenue, Suite 110, Newport Beach, 92660. Good evening, Commissioner, staff. My name is Michael Morris, as I mentioned. Pleased to be here tonight. Started working on assembling these nine properties over 15 months ago, so we're pleased to finally be have a proposed project before you. We believe this project will be a catalyst for the economic revitalization of the stretch of Waterman. I'd now like to turn it over to my co-applicant and partner, Ed Sorrentino, to go with the best process.
Good evening, commissioners and staff. Actually, Happy New Year. We're delighted to be here in January, first year. As Aaron indicated, I would like to introduce ourselves again as Hillwood. We were awarded back in 2002 the master developer for the former North Air Force Base. We've been partners with IBDA ever since. So when we did come out here, we had three goals that we set that we wanted to achieve. First goal was to change the landscape. We committed that we were going to change the landscape of the surrounding area of Alliance, California. The second goal was that we also, it was important to us to increase the tax revenue, which up to today, somewhere in the $690-700 million range. The third goal that we promised ourselves, we would bring jobs back to the former base and to the local community. With those projects, I'm sure that you're well aware of our Alliance California, the Coles, the Skater Brothers, Mattel, Pep Boys, Pactiv, Kohler, Coles.com, Medline, Amazon's two buildings, and then we have Pepsi, and then Cott. That's just in Alliance, California. Then the council challenged us a number of years ago to branch out into the city. And so we did do that. We went and we purchased the old Culligan site off the 215 freeway, which now is the home of Michelin Tire and Dollar Tree, and with two other buildings. Then we went up the Cajon Pass and we purchased another 120 acres. And sits the largest FedEx freight facility in their whole fleet. So we're pretty proud of it. They're pretty proud of it. It's a state-of-the-art facility. Just south of that, in our phase one, there's two buildings that HP has a campus. And so, again, we're very proud of that. Just south of that, we started our phase two in the Cajon Pass. We've just completed one project, which we just won the NAIOP award yesterday for the best deal of the year in the Inland Empire. And then we also are in construction today. We are still pouring slabs on the second building of a total of three. Hillwood, again, has been here very active in the community. We have, within a couple weeks, we expect to break ground on a facility on Orange Show Road, right at Waterman. We had a joint venture that the previous mayor of San Bernardino and Riverside brought us, the three of us together, and we're working together, collaborating on getting a project with the land lease and moving some wells and so forth. So we were very proud that the mayor thought of us with that and moving forward. So this project that we're presenting today is almost even like what we did with Cott, which is just a little bit south of Mill Street of what we've done. We've assembled some properties, we took some of the landscape and we filled it over, we're bringing state-of-the-art, we're bringing jobs to the community. So with that being said, we do appreciate your time. We staff, again, we want to appreciate the time that the staff and the support that they've given to this project. Because as Michael said, this has been a while, and it is quite complicated just with all the different lands and so forth. And Michael's done a very good job, and we appreciate Mark and Aaron and all their support, and also the council. So at that time, I'd like to, you know, we have our consultants here. If there's any questions that you have for us, if I'm not able, I have all the smart people here that are behind me that will jump in.
Thank you. Well, I, for one, I've been on this commission for 10 years, and I've watched the performance of the Hillwood over the old Norton Air Force Base and some of the other projects you have. And I'm very, very happy to see that you're continuing in our city to build in and enable additional growth within our city. I appreciate it personally, as well as a member of the commission, that your performance has been more than adequate. And we want to keep that relationship going as long as possible. Do any of the commissioners have any comments or questions for?
My name is Ned Shortino, Vice President of Development, Hillwood Investment Properties.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Commissioner Dan.
Thank you. Let's see here. I guess a couple of questions. So first one, I think, is a little more towards staff. The general plan amendment talks about rezoning or changing the residential medium high to, did you say, light industrial? How is that going to be? I'm just kind of curious if that the existing occupants of that area, how they're going to be impacted. Or if they, what the impact would be, I guess, is what we're trying to find out. Rezoning something from essentially residential to light industrial.
Right. Essentially, that's also discussed in the CEQA document. Go back here. And so, and I may need to consult on this as well and defer that to them for the rest of these. The portion that there are. The portion that we're talking about, have it's located at the northeast corner. It's currently contains the auto repair truck yard, that you see here, if I can go to the, right here. So as a use, it's already being used as a truck facility repair. So there's really no a discount in terms of eliminating the land use that we're talking about in terms of residential density. The use is already being occupied by the project that would be we're proposing here. We believe that in terms of the overall goals and objectives in the general plan, the general plan, the rezone would benefit the community. And so we see that this is consistent with the existing use in place.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, I understood that the existing area that's zoned for residential is being currently occupied and inhabited by non-residential use.
That is correct.
Changing the general plan will make the existing land uses ultimately be changed, but make the existing land uses come into conformity with what's being proposed.
That is correct. And at the same time, the general plan is really to clean up the entire site as one comprehensive industrial light IL district. This is, although the OIP falls under the industrial zone under the general plan, but again, as a tool and an opportunity to clean up the site with this miscellaneous parcel sizes and as well as the zoning designation, we thought that the general plan amendment to clean up the site would benefit the city general plan.
Okay, that makes sense. A couple more questions about that.
Continue.
So can we talk a little bit about the street impacts on Waterman? This is a question for the applicant, but putting in a warehouse facility of this size, I would imagine is going to generate a significant amount of new traffic. I'm curious what kind of improvements to Waterman are being proposed, if any, to accommodate the increased traffic that's going to result from your project.
The project scope in terms of traffic study was prepared in accordance with the city engineer, and we tried to get Robert Eisenbeis here tonight, but we're not able to do that. But in terms of the project scope, the traffic impact was prepared in accordance with the city's policies. Robert Eisenbeis, I believe the traffic consultant met with the city engineer and went over the scope of work. Based on the traffic study, with outside consultant to assist us to review the traffic study, it was prepared in accordance with our policies and requirements. Now the impacts, again, discuss that in I'm not qualified to discuss that, but I want to say and emphasize that it was prepared in accordance with the traffic scope of work that was prepared by the city engineer, and it was approved. And subsequent to that, in terms of review by an independent party, by RFP consultant, it was found to be consistent with the requirements. I don't know, is that something that the environmental consultant would like to elaborate on? Certainly speak on the planning issues.
Yeah, I'd love if somebody can kind of speak up.
Well, go ahead and have our consultants, but just again, for a low level or that I am with it, is that there wasn't a significant amount of traffic impact north of Mill Street. There's a lack of the development and resources there. Most of it is moving east and west, mm-hmm. and through, you know, getting to the freeways and so forth. So, you know, there were no impacts and it triggered no mitigation because the levels were so low because of the lack of the traffic. But that is my version of it. But we can get a consultant if you'd still like to.
Yeah, yes, please.
Good evening, planning commissioners. My name is Dave Ronells with Team V Planning, Inc., 17542 East 17th Street, Suite 100, Tustin, California, 92780. Just want to make sure that I answer your question completely. Can I just get you to repeat it one more time? I know we're referring to the improvements along Waterman, but I want to make sure that I hit everything that you're
Sure. I guess I'm just kind of curious with the proposed construction of a 427,000 square foot warehouse, where the traffic's going to go and what improvements are proposed to be made along Waterman.
Okay, I'll get your first question about where the traffic is supposed to go. The proposed warehouse facility would generate approximately 575 passenger car trips per day, as well as 140 truck trips per day. In terms of the distribution of those trips, from the project site, virtually all truck traffic will go south along Waterman, and roughly 50-50 split will go west on Mill Street, and the other remaining truck traffic will continue south on Waterman until they hit the two freeways. The passenger car trips are a little bit more varied in their trip distribution. The traffic report that was prepared by Urban Crossroads, they developed the scope of that study in cooperation with city staff. The traffic study found that the addition of the project strips would not degrade the level of service on any of the study area roadway sections, intersections, to unacceptable levels. So today, the intersection at Waterman and Middle operates at an acceptable level of service, and with construction of this project, it would continue to operate at an acceptable level of service.
And that contemplates the full build out of the facility with fully occupied everything?
The way that the analysis was done was based on the existing improvements that are out there today for that intersection of Waterman and Bell. So they assumed when they did all of the various traffic build out scenarios, they only accounted for the improvements that are on the ground today. So if nothing else was built at that intersection today and this project came online, it would continue to operate at acceptable levels.
So let me make that, thank you. So the 575 car trips and the 148 truck trips, that is contemplated at full build out of the proposed site?
Correct, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Then if you'd like me to hit your second point about the improvements that are proposed along Waterman, as part of this project, give me one second more to flip to the page so I can describe everything correctly. There will be some right-of-way dedication on the western portion of the project site. While they do some sidewalk improvements, the size of the right-of-way dedication varies because it's not consistent along the entire frontage of the project site. There are various parcels. So as part of the dedication, it will generally vary between 3 to 5 feet of dedication. The sidewalk will be constructed or reconstructed in cases where there's already sidewalk there, and landscaping will be added as well.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the requirements, it's actually detailed in your staff report in attachment C from land development, specifically item 4 under mapping list A through E that talks about the applicant show. An example, if the existing sidewalk and or curb and gutter adjacent to the site on Waterman Avenue are in poor condition, the sidewalk and or curb and gutter shall be removed and reconstructed to city standards type B, etc. Shall conform to standard number 202 case A. The applicant shall construct accessible curb ramps in accordance with standard plans for public works construction to comply with current ADA accessibility requirements. The applicant shall also construct ramps at the corners of the radius driveway to accommodate ADA accessibility to the project site, et cetera.
I have one quick follow-up on that. Did the traffic study, in conjunction with the city, address the impacts, not in the immediate area of Mill and Waterman or around the Waterman, but Mill as it crosses the SPX line on East Street and the interchange at Interstate 10 on Waterman?
The traffic study did not specifically address those intersections. In accordance with the city's traffic report preparation guidelines, only intersections that receive 50 or more peak hour trips from the project site are required to be studied. Those intersections that you mentioned all would receive less than 50 peak hour trips on the project, and my peak hour would be in the morning between 7 and 9 a.m. and in the afternoon between 4 and 6 p.m. So the project would not contribute more than 50 trips to those intersections during those peak traffic periods.
You got ahead of me. That was my concern, was is the peak hours that they're currently loaded heavily, and if your facility is going to be running at different hours for your traffic volume, that would be very helpful for our city to continue to move.
Just one more question. Thank you. Just one more question. You know, just for the record, I'm very familiar with the Hillwood projects that are out at the airport. I think you guys build a quality product. So these questions are more for me to understand the impacts of this project on the surrounding areas. And I guess the big concern that I have is the condition of the road on Waterman and Mill. I mean, today it's not that great. And I'm envisioning 148 truck trips going up and down Waterman and east and west on Hill. And I'm just curious how that's going to be addressed. Does the city, do we have CIP, potential improvement project that's going to happen along Mill and Waterman to improve the quality of the road? It's a concern because, you know, you're going to be successful, you're going to occupy this building, and we're going to have, you know, an increase in traffic, which is good, an increase in revenue, which is good. I'm just concerned about the condition of the streets. Can anybody speak to me?
Yes, if I can again direct you back to the requirements in the attachment C for the traffic requirements, item 7. You speak about the CIP. The city of San Bernardino ultimate plan is to have a landscape median dividing the northbound and southbound traffic between Mill Street and Fifth Street. Only breaking medians with traffic signals shall have left turn access on Waterman Avenue. So in terms of CIP, I believe this is contemplated from here Mill all the way up to again Rialto, maybe further, that there would be improvements in a median in the center. And so this falls right in within that sort of master plan, improvement plan. And so if in the eventuality with a real tenant in there, and in the event that they should want to go south, they would be required to provide further infrastructure, like a traffic signal, for example, to mitigate traffic impact at that particular location.
And so there's going to be, there would be a traffic signal that will ultimately get installed on Waterman, so the truck driver can make a southbound turn?
There could be, yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions by any of the other commissioners? Commissioner Mitchell?
That's not clear to me. Is the traffic signal a conditional approval?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Any other questions for either staff or the applicant? Any further discussion? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to
approve. I'm going to have to ask you to state your nomination.
Okay, sorry. I motion to approve the mitigated declaration and mitigation monitoring reporting program prepared for the project and approved. General Amendment 14-08, Zoning Amendment 14-16, tentative parcel map 19537573, subdivision 411, and development permit P14-05, based on the findings in fact contained in this staff report and subject to the conditions of approval, attachment C.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None? Carried unanimously. Thank you guys again. Bill Ward's number one as far as developer around here for time concern.
Thank you guys very much.
Any public comments for items not on the agenda that is in purview of the Planning Commission? No response. Planning Commission reports and announcements. Kendall Plaza now has some tenants in there. Lalo Grill is there. And then Super Bowl, University Barn Grill open. For Super Bowl. Sunday, so where
is that?
Kendall Plaza, that's up.
Yeah, no, I know that. So they have a University Barn Grill.
Yes. That's the north, yeah. Northwestmost corner place, a larger yeah. eating establishment.
Cool.
That's the nasal establishment. Discussed with Mr. Persico and Aaron and Travis earlier some comments about that Councilman Nichols Sunday pre-council town hall meeting regarding street trees and the issues that they cause us in the future. And things that were done in the past have now been corrected. Aaron and Mark described the new procedures, which is to ensure that we don't have an invasive species of tree plugged in either the medians or in the park lines next to the roadway because of the damage it causes to sidewalk curves, the street itself. And a small discussion brought up by the chairman of the Historical Preservation Commission as to when buildings going to be proposed for demolition, how the procedure is done. As to whether it comes to us or whether it's made by staff or reviewed by an historical. And Mr. Persico explained the situation to me and he will explain it again back to the president of the historic, or chairperson of the historical society, or Historical Preservation Commission. I'll get to the name right. That's it, unless somebody else got something.
I have just a couple, I have a question. I would love to hear some input or information, maybe next month come back on the status of the Carousel Mall solicitation. I know we've extended it, so I don't know if there's probably nothing to say right now, but.
Oh, I can bring an item back for the next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Okay. It's all quiet. Scary. First the full meetings of the year. Director's report, Mr. Persico.
Yes, thank you very much. At the study session that the commission had 2 weeks ago, I guess tonight, you asked that we report back on progress. And we had our first meeting this afternoon from 3:30 to 5 with the city council appointed working group. The working group is 8 of our external customers, developers, architects, engineers that have done a lot of work with the city over the last decade or more. And we asked them or walked them through the same series of 7 questions that the commission went through, focusing on results, projects that work, projects that don't work. And then the second set of questions dealt with the process. Very, very good discussion that we had. Their big question, or one of the big questions they had, was the same issue that the commission brought up about level of review. What's reviewed by the director, what's reviewed by DERC, and then what is reviewed by the planning commission. They were very interested in re-examining those levels of review and see if there's any refinements that can be made. They also talked a lot about the overlay zones, the hillside management, and then what was that, Aaron? Central City?
Central City South and Central City North, CCS1 and CCS2 zoning designations.
So there was a lot of discussion around that, and I think that fits well with the overall goal of the program or the new code, which is to collapse zoning designations so that we don't have the myriad of zoning designations that we currently have. So I think that would go over well. They also talked about a lot of, or several issues outside the development code, just the review process itself, the development review committee process, who attends those meetings, who doesn't attend those meetings. And then the whole, there was a lot of discussion around the development impact fee structure and looking at incentivizing development in the downtown core. So it was a very good discussion. Our next meeting with them is on April 22nd. And I will have a regular monthly update on the code process that we'll bring to the Planning Commission. So I'm happy to answer any questions there are on that. And then we have, hand these out. I'll briefly talk about this and then take questions. The department has started a quarterly newsletter. We have multiple copies for each of you, so you can disseminate those to at any meetings that you attend. It's also available on the city website under the Community Development Department. We are trying to get the word out on projects that we're working on, items that the Planning Commission has approved, and then we also put an item in there on the development code update. And this will come out quarterly. So this is our first issue for the new year. And with that, one last item. Your February 18th meeting, there is a appeal of the Highland Hills project. There were, for some of you who've been around for a while, the Highland Hills project is a 500-acre project at the far east end of town at Highland Avenue, adjacent to the city of Highland. It was originally approved back in 1998, and then subject to litigation, there was a settlement agreement that was approved in 2001. That settlement agreement recognized that projects change over time with the economy. It allowed the director to make minor modifications to the project. I've been reviewing that along with staff. The minor modification was approved at the end of last year, and an appeal was filed by some of the original litigants. And that appeal will be heard by the Planning Commission on February 18th. So I anticipate that to be a fairly long meeting, a lot of issues and discussion that we'll get into. So I think that would be an important meeting for commissioners to attend. And then we will have the annual report that we talked about at your February meeting. I know Aaron's working on that now. We'll at least be able to start that discussion depending upon how long the appeal hearing lasts. Maybe we'll get through all that item, or maybe we won't. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
I have one quick question. That on the Highland Hills project, if we could get a summary sent out to us early, especially for the newer members, I barely can think about it, and I started hearing on four. So there's something for a little more background to give us some a head start. We're going to have something that may be a contentious meeting. I think we all need to be a little more prepared than the time is normally allotted. So early send out, if that can be done, would be helpful. We know what it's going to be and the backup for it.
Yeah.
Not the current situation, but a summary of what occurred in the past and when, sort of like when some of our things in, just to get us up to speed with some basic information on the project.
Sure. The report will be fairly detailed, and my goal is, or my hope is, to certainly give you more than the usual weekend that you have to review the item. So that is something that I've already started working on. Henry and Pena will be back on February 2nd, so I'll be working with Henry to fine-tune that report, and yes, my goal is to get that to the commission sooner than usual.
Commissioner?
In your new construction activity column, the Harbor Freight Tool Store is expected to open in January of 2015.
Correct.
Is it really?
I don't know if Aaron's got any more information on that.
Yeah, we're working. That's our goal, to accommodate that soft opening on January 30th. Yes,
really?
Sir. Yes. We're working with them right now. It would be a soft opening. It wouldn't be your typical
full-on grand opening, but again, that's just a sort of milestone soft opening that they're anticipating. Between here and then, there could be some variations. We're in the process of reviewing their plan, their grading issues, their development issues. And so we're in that sort of process. We're working towards that goal there to achieve that January 30th. And so that's what we're committing to. It'll be another facility, as you know, we have one here in right off Inland Center Drive and Mill Street. There's an existing Harbor Freight tools there. And so this will be it's 17,000 square foot in size. So this will be a lot bigger than their existing site. And so the parking is very accommodating. So they'll ultimately they'll upgrade the site with new landscaping, new circulation on site, some of our architectural features to enhance the building. But the soft opening would just be the bare minimum.
On the next door, would that involve? Do you have no Harbor Freight planning on closing the existing facility, or this would be an additional facility to serve the customers?
Be an additional facility.
Oh, very good.
They'll maintain the existing site now. They certainly do well here in our city, so we want to keep on accommodating that and bring in jobs and projects, as you know. So we're with the limited resources we have, we're working with them as much as we can to try to accommodate that date again, the January 30th. And we think it's very achievable. We have a very committed team members, Gary Akers, myself, Mark Persico, Laura Biedemann, and building person that we're working with on Wildan, Michael Zavala. So these are very committed to ensure that this will hit their objective date January 30th.
Any other questions, comments? Mr. Commissioner Baxter?
Well, apologies, Mr. Chairman. Everyone, I'm just checking the calendar. I won't be here February 18th. I have to be in San Diego at a conference with the boss. So, Scott, you're on. Sounds like it'll be fun, though. So.
It will be a very interesting meeting, yes.
Just in light of the discussion that we're going to have in February with the Highland Hills project, maybe we push back the update on Carousel Mall.
Okay, certainly we can. We can.
I'm feeling that if this is going to go long, we might get tired, and I'd like to have a good, thorough, robust discussion on what's going on.
I think the timing on that would actually work because we'll have a lot more information to bring forth in March.
Okay, cool. Oh, and then just finally, thank you. I think staff is doing an amazing job. I love the newsletter, the proactive nature of what y'all are doing. Updating the development code, the food third Thursdays. I mean, it's really nice to see. So nobody's here to hear this praise, but well done.
Thanks. We've got a good team.
Anything else? Nothing? That's quiet. I want to entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, February 18th at 6 p.m. I have a motion.
Second.
Another second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No crazy people. Thank you all again.